Hello, everybody. My name is Christian, and I'm definitely an alcoholic.
Christian.
All right, 15 minutes, okay. So, I guess I'll start off with what it was like, and then go into, or what happened, what it was like, and you know, what it's like now. So, what happened, I guess, you know, like most of us, I would say, I grew up in a pretty broken home, you know, a little bit of trauma there, a little bit of trauma here, just, you know, some shit that not a lot of people know how to cope with if you grow up, you know, in the struggle. Moved around a lot, a couple states here, a couple states there. I was born in Texas, which is ironic. I'll get to that in a second, but I was born in Texas, lived in Illinois, and then moved up to New York, went to high school there for 10 years, got introduced to a lot of things, because Syracuse is like a drug hub. Drugs are part of my story, but I'll focus on the alcohol. I found that alcohol was like the catalyst to doing other stuff. You know, once I got a couple drinks in me, it was like go time, you know, like, then it led to other stuff because, you know, my guard was down and, yeah. I really liked the other stuff, but, you know, I always had alcohol to fall back on. You know, anytime I got in a fight with my brother, there's a bottle of JD in my drawer, that kind of stuff. So, a lot of bad childhood, really bad childhood. And so I turned to the bottle to kind of cope with life, you know. I had no coping mechanisms. I had no role model to. I had no hope that I would amount to anything, really. And the only ticket I had out from the struggle was, you know, to get an education, which I'm still in the process of doing. Graduated high school in 2013, and I'm still a junior, but there's no rush. You know, I'm working now on my mental health. I moved to Florida when I was 20 and decided, you know, I'll try to give sobriety a shot. You know, I haven't been sober more than like a couple of days for like since I was 16, so 6 years, well, at the time, 4 years. I had my first drink and my first drug at 13. And I loved it. I loved how it made me feel. I loved that, you know, it gave me that euphoric feeling, removed me from reality. And so I tried to get sober when I was 20. A school counselor referred me to a rehab, and I went to that rehab. Was there for a couple months. Got out. You know, I'm a pretty good liar, so I faked my way through it. Was on that pink cloud. Everything was dandy. You know, I don't think I learned much from there because I didn't understand the program. They were just like, oh, you gotta get a sponsor. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'll find a guy that I can like, you know, consider a friend. So I found a guy that was a sponsor and he's basically like a friend, didn't really guide me through the steps or anything. We were just like, you know, we'd read the book and be like, oh, we just passed step three, okay, good, let's go on. You know, I didn't really explain it to me. Got out of rehab, and then I was 20, and then I turned 21. And, you know, I was 21, and I spent that birthday sober. And then a little bit afterwards, I'm like, you know, man, like, I've been doing this for, like, 60 days, like, you know, I deserve at least, like, something, you know, so I started hanging out with the same people, going to the same places, doing the same things, and I never really gave myself a shot for sobriety. I just kind of was like, man, fuck it, like, my life's not going anywhere, you know, I got the case of the fuck it's, I stopped going to meetings, I stopped calling my sponsor, I was just like, alright, I just want to taste it, see how it is, you know. I want to try to drink like a gentleman. I just have one, you know. I can do this. started, you know, rationalizing. And shortly after, a year and a half later, I found myself like on the verge of suicide and getting Baker acted by the same school counselor that referred me to the first rehab. And so the Baker Act saved my life. So I was mixing, you know, I was a mixer. I wanted to get, you know, at that perfect level. And so, like, if I was too up, I would get it down. If I was too down, I'd get, you know, an upper. But alcohol was always there to, like, keep me grounded because, you know, I knew what to expect when I drank. I got Baker acted. I went to a psych ward. After the psych ward, I went to a facility in Orlando called La Amistad and learned a little bit about mental health issues and learned a little bit more about my alcoholism and various other addictions. And it wasn't until, you know, I didn't have a place to go after I got out of rehab, so I moved down to Texas. My grandparents, they put up with my bullshit for 4 months. And it wasn't until, like, I met a guy with a lot of time under him. He's an older gentleman. It wasn't until I met him and that he sponsored me that I actually got the program. He guided me through the book. You know, he wasn't like, okay, you know, read the book, let me know what you think about it kind of thing. He sat down with me and like, okay, this is a table of contents, right? You know how to find, these are the chapters, this is what page it's on, this is where step one is, this is where step two is, you know, the appendix is in the back, read that, let me know what you think about it. Okay, you know, he actually taught me how to teach someone else, you know, give back what was freely given to me. And, you know, I showed up at meetings every day. It was a new meeting, and, you know, I wasn't doing anything in my life in Texas. You know, I was just basically vacation and, you know, recovering. And so I went to a meeting every day. It did 90 and 90. And I was like, man, I think I want to refund that, you know, get my refund and get, you know, because I still felt pretty shitty. And, man. But, like I said, my sponsor was guiding me through the book, and I realized that, you know, AA stands for not only Alcoholics Anonymous, but Attitude Adjustment. I realized that I had to kind of get rid of that old way of thinking with a new way of thinking. And I didn't really know, like, how to do that, you know. I didn't know how to get rid of all those character defects and, you know, give them over to God. And he said to me, like, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? And I was like, naturally, as an alcoholic, I wanted both. You know, I wanted to be happy and right. But he asked me again, I'm like, I just want to be happy because my life, you know, I still get into those depressions where, you know, it feels like the whole weight of the world is on, you can't really, like, you know, move, and it's, like, debilitating. But because of this program, because of working the steps and being open and honest with people, I was able to, like, you know, not hold on to all that, you know, give it over to God and let other people in and help me, you know. I had to swallow my pride, per se, and that really helped because, you know, I started asking for help, really, and it's a slow process for me. I mean, I'm still pretty new in the program, you know, I still don't know my ass from elbow, but I still go to meetings every day, try to, I still call people, and I don't really have a sponsor right now because I don't like the way he does, you know, step work, and he does like group step work, and I'm like, I need that one-to-one. I need someone with some time to guide me through the book because this isn't working. So, I'm still pretty new and just trying to stay afloat right now, surviving. But if it wasn't for this program, you know, I would be in deep water, you know. They say an addict alone is in bad company. Boy, when I'm alone, it's pretty bad company. I'm sure a lot of you can relate. But damn, dude, like, I tell you what, addiction, especially to alcohol, it's just like, you know, I understand why people love it so much. I understand why I was addicted to it because, you know, it's just chasing the dragon, per se. Like, it's chasing, you know, that euphoric level of, like, you know, it's like a false sense of, like, you know, serenity, in my opinion. And that's what it was like for me. You know, once I had a couple of drinks in me, it was like, all right, you know, I could relax now. Nothing else matters. I feel good, you know, like, but now I understand that I can find that in sobriety if I let God guide me, you know, if I let God guide my steps and, you know, if I turn it over to God, then my day goes by a little bit smoother, you know. I wake up and I pray, I read pages 86 to 88, and that gives me a little bit of guidance throughout the day. And I found that the more I do it, the more it becomes like an ingrained process, you know. So when I'm disturbed or agitated, I like naturally, you know, without even thinking about it, I'll just stop and like be like, okay, what's actually going on here? Like, you know, am I actually, you know, mad at that guy that cut me off, or what's actually going on? I cut him off back there, so maybe he's just like, you know, giving me some payback. But, you know, life's good though. Yeah, I find that just a little bit of prayer and just a little bit of humility goes a long way. Because I understand now the problem's not with the world. The problem's in my head, you know? Like, fuck, who would have thought? Once I stop trying to run the show, you know, I start caring about other people. I start trying to do stuff for other people. And I would have never found that had I not been coming to these meetings and listening to like-minded people and people with the same disease that I got. You know, you hear about people in meetings say that, oh, well, people have cancer, you know, this is how they treat this disease. Well, I have alcoholism, this is how we treat alcoholism. Coming to AA, trying to, you know, keep coming until something sticks. And, it stuck to me, you know. I mean, day by day, I'm trying to kind of just really not act my character defects, you know. I try to, you know, get out of self and help other people. I try to ask God what He wants me to do today. And it's led me down some strange, unforeseen roads. It's introduced me to a lot of really great people, a lot of really good friends, and it would have never happened if I was still drinking. There's this one saying in rehab, they're saying that we have more good memories about using and drinking than we did bad, but I disagree. You know? I had far more worse experiences drinking and drugging than I did good memories, you know. The kind of user I was, it was just fast and hard. You know? I could not stop. I'd go to just oblivion or until I was broke, and that's when I would stop. So I made a lot of really poor decisions, and it was really hard to forgive myself. You know, it was hard to look at myself in the mirror and say, I love you, to me, you know? But I love myself today, and I feel like I have a lot to contribute to people because I love myself, I forgive myself, and I just want to give back what's really given to me. So with that, thank you for listening. I'm not sure if that actually helped anyone, but thank you.